fell down. I was torn between myself and the deep, but I don't live in me. However, when I drank from the cup, I plead for keeps. Unrelaxed and formal, artificial dreams, self-sewn stitching, stripped from the seams. If you steal my ghost when I wake, I'm skipping town. I was torn between myself and the deep, but it don't live in me. However, when I drank from the cup, I play for keeps. I'm not done yet, I'm just seeing how this fits. But if I from the cup, I play for keeps. I was torn between myself and the deep, but we are live. You're just listening there to Colin Hunter, First Aid Kit, taken from his new album, King of the Rats. Colin, you probably know Colin's been on the show many times before. Ayrshire singer, songwriter, drummer. You might know his band, Mellow Party. He's even gained a few international caps playing drums for the Poison Chalice role that is drummer with the Gyro Babies. Let's get him on the now. It's Colin Hunter. Hello.
Hello, Mark. You look as if Captain Kirk asked you to set your phasers to stunning.
Looking good. I'm looking good.
You look great, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, as you know, I've got, if I could do a wee bit better, maybe. Look, here we go. A bit of light on this. I'm doing my best to have the lighting. So I'm using a torch for my phone today. And it is stunning my eyes. As I can actually see, but it hopefully makes the show look a bit better. So I just listening to your album there. That was First Aid Kit. Tell us about that first.
So First Aid Kit, when I was going through a divorce, I was like getting my stuff out the old flat in Shawlands to move out. And I was getting this wardrobe and I was like I'm not that tall, so I was like trying to get stuff out. And then I've got a boxing trophy that I had for doing a charity boxing thing that we did years ago with Kevin Dyson and Bruce McIntosh, with musicians fighting musicians, and I won it, so I did. Anyway, this boxing trophy falls and cracks me in the head, and the irony that I nearly get knocked out by the boxing trophy, like, stuck with me. So when I was in my kind of halfway house before I got my new flat, I was just kind of penning a lot of lyrics down, and that was the first line I got. I was hit over the head with a first aid kit.
That's good. It's like, it reminds me of a Beta Band lyric, which is choking on a vitamin tablet.
That's it.
So why not say that you get knocked out by my boxing trophy?
I don't know. I just quite liked when I was thinking.
It does work better. And also, I think you've run the risk of just basically making people hang. He's just wrote this song so he could boast about winning a boxing.
But as well as that, like, I had, you know, I was self-medicating that with alcohol for years and years and years. And to me, that was my medication. That was like, my first aid kit, you know what I mean? And it was like the thing that I was using to get me through the day was the thing that was stopping me from possibly not waking up the next day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I decided for first aid kit. Cause I wasn't ready to talk about the drink yet because I'd still not put it down.
Yeah. And if you're, we're doing an early show today because I think we're hopefully both going to go to McCool's later on for Stephen Young's band, McCool's, God, the Duncan on the drums. And we get to see him rocking out on a drum kit. I've not seen him play drums for ages. And the folk drama supporting as well. So if anyone's looking for something to do tonight, that's the place to be. And that's why the Friday night phone-in is on a Friday afternoon
today. I love Stevie Young. I think he's an amazing songwriter. I love the Imagineers. Gordy on the drums is amazing, but I don't know too much about folk drama. Who are they? What kind of stuff are they doing, Mark?
Brilliant. It's Aaron and you might know Aaron Wright, and his wife's American, Mexican American, I think. LA, from LA. We've had them on the show before, but they're an amazing man. It's kind of stripped back, acoustic harmonies, just good songs, man. Good songs, kind of like almost like a throwback to a simpler 60s, 70s vibe, I would say. I hope they don't mind saying that. But it's got that, I mean that in the best way. I mean it like it's got each song sounds like a hit record, do you know, like a classic sound they've got.
Yeah.
And they're dead nice as well. So, yeah, I want to see them also. So, yeah, hopefully, I'm just waiting to find out how long I'm staying at a friend's house just now, so I'm waiting to see how long I'm allowed to stay here for. Am I here till today, tomorrow, or Sunday? And then I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to Ireland or I'm not.
Going to Ireland? What's happening in Ireland?
It's a country called Ireland. And I'm going for my Irish citizenship. And we've got an Irish tour in November. But this is just to see some friends and family. And then I was going to, because we're playing Equinox Festival next Friday, and that's quite a long journey, man. It's like 6-7 hours in a car. So I was like, well, I'll just make my way. There's no point in coming all the way back to Scotland. So hopefully I was going to go to Ireland and fly back to Leeds, but and then make my way for there, which isn't that bad. But man, my broken foot's still playing up. I think it's a bad idea now. I think I'm just going to make my way to
I was loving at Soapy Fest when I was up the back watching, and I clocked you sitting in the seats up at the back, legitimately sitting in the seats at the back with your moon boot up. I'm like,
I had the accessibility pass, so I was using it for the right reason. But yeah, I feel like if I'm going to the airport, you know, people are like, oh, you just tell them that you get accessibility and they'll wheel you about and all that, and I just feel like, it's going to be too much hassle, man. I'm not going to do it. I am just going to scrap Ireland this week and I'm going next month anyway. So November the 7th, 8th and 9th, Dublin, Dundalk and Derry. The 3 Ds. But yeah, it's a long journey for here to Equinox. So it's like, you did the long journey to Boomtown. I remember that when you were playing the Gyros.
I mean,
because that was really hot, man. And I don't know if you were sober then, or you were, I can't remember. Were you just starting sobriety, or?
I've always known I had a problem with my drinking, and I've always known that I should have quit a long time ago, but I just wasn't ready. But I hadn't started my like public or like, you know, or admitting it to myself journey yet. So, you know, I drank one night. The first night when we go to Boomtown, I drank, and then the next day I was wiped out because it was just so hot. I'd never experienced that hangover with that heat. So I never drank the rest of the time, which is unlike me back then. But that was amazing. It was the maddest festival I've ever been to.
Yeah, there's nothing that compares to it.
No,
it's a lot. Look, I've not. I was asked if I wanted to go back. Well, they told me to come, to get back in touch about the following year. But I think it's just one of those places that you've got to go once to experience, or maybe once every couple of years. I don't fancy doing it every year. But once again, that was it was 36 degrees when we were on stage. 36 in a desert, and it's like a desert environment. Everyone talks about Boomtown Lung. Because like when you come back, you're just kind of sort of coughing up mud and dirt and stuff. It's quite mad that it exists like that. But I mean,
I looked out for the artist camping to the punter camping, and it looked like Mad Max, didn't it? Now, let's get on there, man.
Yeah, we did have the advantage of the artist camping was actually dead nice. It was quite quiet. And then we also had the advantage of there was like a wee bus, an artist bus, crew bus, they kind of takes you around. So when you're like carrying stuff, you go out like a shortcut. But yeah, I don't know if going as a punter would be more difficult. But at least as a punter, you don't have to try and perform in 36 degree heat. I don't know what it's like as a drummer, but as a singer, the first two songs I started enjoying myself. And then I started kind of moving a bit. And I was like, hold on, you've got another 45 minutes. Calm down, Elvis Presley.
Yes. I loved you wearing the wee sort of shade hat.
Yeah, the shade hat. Yes, if that was going to do anything in 36 degrees, it was boiling, man. And I mean, so what was it like doing a drum? What was it like as a drummer in that heat?
The wee cans of water that they were giving it, they were like worth their weight in gold when we were there, because like they weren't cheap. Plus, so every time I was, because we played two sets in the one.
Yeah, we did one about 3 o'clock at the 36 degree heat, and then we did one I think about 10:30 at the old copper town. I think it's called. So there was a rider of some beer and some water.
So I just filled my pockets with that water, the wee cans of water. It was extremely hot. I didn't enjoy it, and I knew that on the Sunday, we had to drive back early, get up early in the morning to drive to Edinburgh, because I was playing with Mellow Party at the Dr. Bell's Baths with Kyle Faulkner.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That's too much.
It's daft. We say it's daft. Every single time we do something like that, we say, we shouldn't really do that. We're getting a bit too old. And you just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I need to watch how many A's or M's I say, because my girlfriend's dad, I was speaking to him because I was on Ronnie McGee's radio show the other day there, and he dug me up for saying that I kept going,
I do as well sometimes.
He was saying he's a Church of Scotland minister, and he was saying, you know, as a professional public speaker, I can give you a few tips. And I was like, you know, you're a bit different for when you're at church to for when you're at home. What is that all about? And he's like, it's called a fucking alter ego, you cunt.
Yeah. But the thing is that he's cheating. He's just basically doing a spoken word set. Because it's not what you're going to get the A's and the ums during a poem, because you know what you're actually performing, you're going to say. So the flip side of it is I have tried to bring it back in, but the only way to do that is by having a really good idea of the sentence you're going to say before you say it. But the problem with that is you're going to get more awkward silences.
Aye, because you don't want dead air. It's the cardinal sin, and he's sort of, I think he's a great guy, and he's just
he's a cardinal. He's a cardinal.
he likes to wind me up, and plus he
slice is an air hang in it. For anyone that doesn't know, slice refers to a square sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just an air hang?
Everybody usually says square sausage everywhere else, I think. I don't know.
Everyone's square. Or you just assume that the sausage is going to be square if you're in Scotland. But forget about the Rogan Slice, because obviously we want to become big. You call that radios. It's time for us to reach the heights of Joe Rogan, the heights of James English. And I didn't know this until we were, we just talked backstage, but you've got an ayahuasca story. So this is maybe the moment that you call that radio becomes mainstream.
I got sober, and that wasn't enough. My mental health's still been really, really, I've been struggling. I have borderline personality disorder, which is comorbid with a major depressive disorder. And that's just been my whole life. And so I tried to get back in touch with mental health services. And in Ayrshire, they don't offer dialectical behavioural therapy, which is what you would use to treat people with borderline personality disorder.
What is dialectical behavioural? What's that?
I think it uses a lot. You know how CBT is cognitive behavioural therapy.
I know that one, yep.
So dialectical behavioural therapy, John McMuster will be able to tell you more about this. And we actually played a CBT conference like last week, and over the mic, there was like 15,000 therapists and CBT and DBT specialists. And I said, I am someone who is suffering with borderline personality disorder. If anybody has any information or a card, or if they want to take me on, if you fucking think you're hard enough, then that'd be great. And nobody come up to me, anybody. It's like, you know, you say somebody, can you organise a piss up in a brewery? I couldn't get help in an arena full of therapists, my man. So a few months back, I was speaking to John because I'd looked at the ketamine therapy.
Right.
That you could. But it's really expensive. It takes a while to get it in NHS, and if you go on private, it's like $6,000 or something. Wow. So I was speaking to John, and he was like, oh, you know, somebody I know had come back for an ayahuasca retreat and said it was one of the most amazing experiences of life, and it's really helped them and stuff. And I was like, oh, really? I've heard a wee bit about this ayahuasca. Let me tell him to get me in touch with the people that run the retreat. So the retreat was in Malaga. It wasn't just in some warehouse in Motherwell. So you got the information, spoke to the woman over the phone, and she's like for west of Scotland. So she had this like, here's the thing, is like, you know, the ayahuasca is like a spirit, right? It's a kind of spirit kind of thing. And you've got to believe it in it. It's a spirit, and it'll heal you and it'll get you. And she had said to me that, you know, for a lot of people, it will help their addictions. You will get a belief in something bigger than yourself, like a belief in a God or something. I don't believe in anything. I wish I did. I'm envious of people that do. And that it would help with, you know, self-development, starting to love myself because I hate myself. So I was like, right, I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's book me up. So I arrived. And one of the first conversations I had with one of the guys that was going to be doing the ayahuasca, he was an Irish, a lot of Irish folk were there. And he goes, Colin, I'm just looking forward to speaking to the Galactic Federation. And I was like, what? And he was like, the Galactic Federation. So he's talking about, he believes that there's this Galactic Federation out there that can that help us all and control everything and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, all right, no bother. And then the first, so they take us through these groups, and there's a lot of different types of people, a lot of folk with money, basically. And I'm not a rich person. I've invested in this because I want to get better and I want to help myself and all these things that I want to, you know, get rid of. And I was being really, in this group format, I was being really open. And then folk were just like, some guy that was like a trust fund guy was like, yeah, I'm just really hoping to get to Mother Earth and to get to experience the buzz of ayahuasca. I'm like, all right, no bother. But I was keeping my open mind. I was trying my best to keep an open mind. And at dinner that night, during discussions, somebody said, I believe that you choose your parents before you're born. And I was like, you've not fucking met Doreen then, have you? And they were like, no, but that's your spirit. That's your spirit choosing, because your journey and your spirit form, you must have needed this fucking thing. And I was like, what about like crack babies or like stillborn wains and stuff like that? That's like they definitely. What benefit is that? And then a few folk were like, "Hey, what about that? That's actually interesting." And then you know they do that thing where they go, "Look over there, run away." The equivalent, the sort of. But then, the actual ceremony itself was that night. There was so you're in on the Thursday. And you stay to the Monday. So there's three ayahuasca trips, one after the other. The second day, there was the Cambo, which is, I think I've still got the marks here. I don't know. They burn three dots into your, we'll get to that. And then they put frog poison on you. Then there's the these eye drop stuff. I think they were called, Segura or something like that. Anyway, so the first, I'm keeping an open mind, even though everybody's, you know, wired to a Mars bar. There's a guy sitting next to me for Clyde Bank, I think he was. So everybody else was Irish, American, English, and French, and a Mexican. And we're all in this big room. And this wee bed, you get this wee bed and you get the bucket because you're going to purge. That's the word for either spewing, shitting, yawning, snot. Everything's a purge when you're on it, apparently. If you kind of get in my tone right now, I didn't have the best experience that everybody else gets. So this is why, if you're maybe foreshadowing that it's not going to go that well. Anyway. So they say you take the ayahuasca, you drink it one by one, everybody drinks it, and the shaman's there and he's doing the thing. And so he's singing to it. I'm not going to start doing the singing that he does, but like it is just words and it is just a song that he's singing essentially. And it's just like try to talk. So he could have been like singing.
Is it tribal stuff? So you don't, a different language you don't understand?
Exactly. But it might as well have been like, I don't know, Savage Garden or something like that. But there was like four leaders, and then there was the shaman and the shaman's sidekick. So then we all take it, and then 15 minutes goes by, and then there's a lassie up the left corner from me. She starts going, please, I don't like this. Please let it go. Please let it, take it away from me. Please, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I'm like, that doesn't bode well. And then the guy beside me just starts hewing, just, and I'm just looking, and then, so I'm not feeling anything yet. It didn't taste that great, but I'm not feeling anything. And then he's like writhing on the ground, and he's rolling in his bed, and he starts going, Johnny, is that you, Johnny? How's it going, pal? You all right? You all right? Aye. Then somebody will spew up the corner, and he will like, I ken the feeling. And then he starts like banging the ground, going, Rangers, we're going to win the league, we're going to win the cup. And I'm like, I come on the way to Malaga to have a spiritual experience, and I'm straight back to Co winning.
It's like, I met some Rangers fans in mushrooms before, so I know. I can relate. That was an interesting one.
What was it like? What were they like?
Well, they were singing Rangers songs, but they were on mushrooms. So it was just like, it was. I just never thought of that before. I just never thought that, you know, it's no, the mushroom experience doesn't seem to co-align with hello, hello, or anything like that.
No, so.
I'm sure there's some of our listeners or our viewers or Rangers fans that enjoy magic mushrooms. I'm not saying that. I just never thought about it that way. It seems
I know you.
A psychedelic experience seems so far away from football and far away from Rangers and far away from winning. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, I totally get your point, and that's exactly it.
I've got it in my phone notes. Rangers fans and mushrooms, like for a lyric, because I don't know how that's going to. What, I don't have anything else to add to that lyric, but
maybe you could explore, because sometimes with these things we have these biases, that you can maybe explore your bias with, or you could explore the social, because that in itself is a great concept. Straight away.
Well, if I bring out a song called Rangers Fans and Mushrooms, people are hitting play. They're hitting play because they want to see what I'm going to say about it. And the thing is, I don't even know what to say about it. I'm still confused about it. But going back to yours, so you've got a guy, you're taking ayahuasca, everyone's having a bad time, apart from the Rangers guy, who's just singing Rangers tunes.
She's singing Rangers songs.
To mother. Mother Nature, or I think she's called Pashama, am I right in saying that?
Pashama, Pachamama, Pachamama.
Pashama, Mother Nature, is a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
After all,
So the idea is when you're sitting, so it's in the dark, they're playing music, and you're sitting there, and the idea is to think of your intention. What is your intentions? So that when Mother Ayahuasca comes and speaks to you, you can, whether it's, you know, for me it was, please, I just want to know that you exist and there is a higher power or whatever. That was my first intention that I wanted to kind of go through. And then that the Galactic Federation guy is right beside me, and he's giving it all that. And I'm just like, I don't belong here, man. So we're sitting there, and I sort of start to feel like, oh, here. I'm feeling like something's happening now. And I lie down for a bit, and then the woman comes up to me, and she taps, and she goes, we're going to do the healing ceremony now. Can you take your T-shirt off? I said, right, okay. So all the guys are lined up, and I'm starting to feel it. Do you know what I mean? And we're all lined up, and so the shaman comes up, and he's spitting this stuff in her face, and he's like cracking away a leaf over the face. and then I'm looking to the right of me, and there's like some guys like, you know that. There was one guy like, like properly, his face was melting off. And I'm looking, and because it was so, must have been because there was so many Irish people, and I was trying not to do an Irish accent, just loads of Father Ted quotes jumped in my head, and I shouted out loud, here we all are now, all the lads. And then the woman came up and said, Colin, you need to focus. And I'm right, okay, sorry. So I can really start to feel something happening. I went back to my seat, my bed, and I eventually start spewing. And then that's when just all hell broke loose, and just, I felt like every single negative emotion that you can feel as a human being, I was feeling it all at once, like times 10. The room was just constantly spinning. If I closed my eyes, it got worse. I was the most nausea you've ever had in your life. I was trying not to shit myself. And I was just like, and my whole concept of time just
What's the toilet situation like? Because you've got about 12 people all needing a shit.
There's 20 people, 20 guests doing the ayahuasca. There's four people.
Shaman. Shaman.
So shaman. The shaman shaman's sidekick and four leaders. So, but everybody. Is then everybody's on ayahuasca. Nobody's know, apparently, that's what you need today. There's two compost toilets at the back. They said before we started, if we need a pee, we need to go and ask permission from a tree. So you need to walk up to the tree and say, psst, it's all right if I piss on you.
That's
so
nice. That seems fair.
I mean,
we're going to have to ask like the head honcho or something, but that's fine. You're asking a tree. What if the tree says no? What if the tree says no? What are you supposed to do then?
If you're the kind of person that can receive messages for trees, they'll never say, they're never going to say no to you. They're always your best pal. So so there's two compost toilets outside, and I went out to like do a pee. And when I opened the door, I was just like, and I looked up at the sky, and all the I've never seen the stars like this in my life. They're coming at me, and I was like, that's fear. And then I went to get in the toilet, and it's because it's a compost toilet, it stinks. And I went to put my foot in, but like the base of the thing was so far away, and it felt like my leg, I had to like really stretch my leg right out to get in. And then I came out and I was just like, and I collapsed and I cracked my bad knee that I shattered a couple of years back on the grun. And I'm just like lying there and I'm convulsing, spewing up oil myself. Help me, somebody, help me. And then somebody comes up and says, do you need help? And I'm like, yes, please. And then, like, everything's going to be fine. And in the end, I'm like, when will it end? So I'm not getting any. Anytime I close my eyes, I'm getting all this kind of hellish H.G. Geiger landscapes where, like, folk getting their flesh torn off and all that, and, like, orgies and just, like, just a horrible. You ever seen that film, Society? It's a body horror film. Is it called Society? It's like there's like it's a kind of metaphor for like yuppies and
I've not seen it, but I'm trying to imagine the visuals and stuff. Is it any way comparable at all with acid or mushrooms or DMT or anything like that? Because it's DMT, isn't it? As DMT, it's just it's not the DMT that we would know, because DMT is quick.
Yeah, so I had a really really bad acid experience a few years ago that just lasted and lasted, and I realized when I came out of it that the medication that I was on, I think it was mirtazapine at the time, that was like one of the worst medications you could be on while taking acid, because it just like it was horrible, man. So
is it comparable? Is it comparable? Are we
folk that say it isn't it? I mean, it's intense, and it's more intense, but you can compare it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It felt like it was years and years and years, Mark. It felt just like it wasn't going to end, and it was years and years. And I ended up at one point, I'm holding on to like the pole of the canopy, screaming out, "Help me or kill me!" So that was my first experience with ayahuasca. That was the first night. Doing it, and then
then they make you do it again.
Yeah, so the next day I woke up and I'm like, the ceremony starts at 10 at night and it finishes at 5 in the morning because it lasts that long. Then you sleep there until you're well enough to get up to your room.
Did you get a good sleep? Were you tired?
I was shattered, man. I was done in. I was like,
but you sleep it off. Do you have a good night's kip after all of that, or is it shite?
You just keep the stuff never ends, and you're like, I spent all night fighting David Cronenberg monsters, and now I've got to get up and take this frog poison. So we go in, and I was up in my room for like an hour or two. Then you get shouted down. You're doing it's called Cambo. So they burnt three dots into the arum, and then they put it on. And then I would honestly, within about 45 seconds, like my body started to tingle, the temperature of my body just started to increase. I started to sweat, and then I shat myself. And I was like, did I shit myself there? I'm not sure. And then I was just like, all ears of graces were away because everybody's been spewing and all that. I was like, I need to go, I've shat myself. So I take the bucket. And then when I look back at the bed, it seeped through my shorts. Do you know what I mean? So I take my bucket into the compost toilet, and I'm just in that compost toilet. And folk are trying to get in because they're shitting and all. They want to shit and all. And they're like, let me in. And I'm like, I can't. So I'm sitting in this hot box, sweating, spewing, and shitting, and just snot and everything. Covered it for about 45 minutes. So that was Cambo. Cambo's supposed to get rid of all your like toxins and whatever other stuff in your gut or whatever. So then we have this group session later on where everybody can talk about their experience and all that. And so then the Fruit Loops really are coming out their shell. So one of the women, and I swear to God this is true, I would not lie about this. This woman had said, she was an American woman, and she said, so I feel really safe in this group enough to tell you that I'm a sleeper agent for the American government. I was groomed by MKUltra when I was a little girl. And what I want to do is heal from my past trauma generational trauma, not the generational trauma from my parents or my grandparents, the generational trauma from when I was a triceratops during dinosaur times. So first of all, like she's, I've not finished what she said yet, right? So first of all, she's a sleeper agent, right? No, she's also a triceratops. And the dinosaur times, when we were allowed to talk, I put my horn up and I said, if you really believe you're triceratops, wouldn't you at least find out what period that was instead of calling it dinosaur times? Do you know what I mean? And then she said, and also I have a direct link with George Lucas. And I was like, what's that, mate? You've got George Lucas's number. He's like, Star Wars guy, you got his number? He's like, I have a telepathic link with George Lucas. And I'm still trying to keep an open mind. The thing is, everybody, all the folk that are leading this are like, yes, you do. Of course you do. I'm like, what? Am I the, like, I'm mad, right? I'm mad. But when I'm the one that's the least mad in the room, that you've got a problem. It was almost like, and I've also been in a psychiatric ward, it was almost like the nurses had went, you are in charge, we're off. That's what it kind of felt like. Then this other woman talked about how she was trying to go over, because she was the Virgin Mary in a past life, and she was trying to go over her birthing the saviour of humanity, Jesus Christ. And then I was trying my best to, like, oh, fucking hell. It was just full of the lost, the lonely, the broken, and the damned. And I was one of them, man. Do you know what I mean? I was there trying my best, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this ayahuasca the night for the second time. I don't think I'm going to do it. And I was kind of talked into it, and peer pressure, I suppose. But I suppose I spent that money. I might as well go and if I'm, I might as well get in the whole hog or whatever. So I go and do it, and I take they give me a lesser strength dose because they know that I didn't have a great time the first time. But I'm still, like, when I'm looking in the room, I'm seeing folk, their eyes are all weird and looking, like, almost like demonic, and you're hearing all the time, and folk are lying about. It was like being at, like, a horrible, like, afters that, you know, you've been at before, that everybody's just like, see that the moment when everybody's just about to lie down, or they're being sick or whatever, and, like, the sun's coming through the window and the birds are chirping, folk are going to work, Wayne's are going to school, all that guilt, you're like, oh, I hate me. And it was kind of flooding, that kind of stuff was flooding back to me. And I was like, oh no, this isn't good. So, but there was a moment during that second experience that I brought my notepad with me, and I wrote, if I am willing to put myself through all of this, knowing what happened on the first night, just to get better, I must love myself, like, even that much. Do you know what I mean? So there was a sort of positive in that. But when I said that in the group the next day, they all said that was Pachamama. Pachamama, it was saying that to you. I was like, well, Pachamama sounds a lot like me. Do you know what I mean? Pachamama has got a West Coast of Scotland voice. Do you know what I mean?
Much Mother Nature or God or whatever people perceive as God is in your own, in your own
image?
Design. In your own image. So that's a good get out. That's a good get out of that one.
Because obviously,
she's for Ayrshire, an Ayrshire lass.
Aye. So I remember actually, like, that sentiment. I was in Kilmarnock and I walked past, and there was an American guy with the end of his knife spouting stuff about the Bible. And he was saying something like, he started talking to me. I wasn't even asking to speak to him. I was just like, what's going on here? And he's like, what about you, sir? Are you a vegan? And I'm like, no. And so we can eat animal. He says, we can eat animals. Do you believe it's all right to? And he goes, well, it's a bit of a, you know, grey area. And he goes, but God made man in his own image. And I was just like, no, man made God in his image. That's what it is. That's the zinger. But then like we got into a heated argument and I ended up calling my dick and walking away. So that, I'm not really good at debating.
So he won the argument. I mean, that's a guy that debates all day. He's a master debater. So let's go back to the ayahuasca trip. So that do you do it twice? Is that you free after that? Are you allowed to leave, or are you got to do it a third night?
No, so we're supposed to do it a third night. So we all met up and the third night. I'm sure I'm missing stuff out. There's stuff I've written down about this because and there's things that. That I've done videos when I was there, try to keep just so I don't forget the wee things because I want to write about it. Yeah. But so they said that we had a meeting and they said the third night isn't going to go ahead because the police are onto us. And if the police arrive, please say that this is just a yoga and meditation. And I'm like, I thought this was legit. I paid 1,200 quid. No, this was legit, man.
I can't just when you think you can't get any worse, you know what I mean? You're fighting demons, monsters, everyone's spewing and shitting everywhere, and then the police raid it. Oh my God. And true or false, you're not even allowed to eat food or anything like that. It's like you can't even have a breakfast. All the toxins out your body.
Aye, so I'll say this: the woman, the resort that we were staying in was gorgeous. It was beautiful, and I was sharing the room with an older Irish guy. It was a Cormac. It was I got on with him so much, but this time now, I'm over it. I want him, but I'm there, isn't I? So. There were certain things that they were saying. They were, you know, this woman who I really got on with, she's 57-year-old from Middlesbrough, and she had MS, and she struggled with, you know, beliefs and was really resistant to any sort of therapy, just like myself. So I really identified with her and got along with her. But she had said during a group session that when she was younger, she always thought she was going to get some disease. And now she's got MS, she feels guilty or whatever. And then the group folk started saying to her, you manifested your MS.
Fuck off. I hate that shit.
You can, it's hot, mate. I had to go and speak to her after it. I was like, you did not manifest your MS, just so you know. And then they said, you can manifest it away using ayahuasca. So I had to go. There was another guy and this trust fund guy that had said to this same woman, I had a little bit of trouble with depression in the past because, you know, some things happened in my life and I was on different antidepressants. And what happened was I got off that shit and I was watching a podcast and they told me that I could use magnesium and B12 and it helped me. And I just turned around and I was like, mate, you don't know what you're talking about. Like this is a clinical problem she has. Like, do you think that a vitamin B12 capsule once a day is going to help somebody that's schizophrenic? Or what have you got there?
Electrolyte. But it's energy tonic, it's called. It's like we're not sponsored or anything, it's just a it's like Baroka. But I think it's got magnesia, vitamin B12, and it's got magnesium, vitamin B12, some electrolytes, stuff like that. I just have one once a day. It's got calcium in it as well. It's for my broken foot. But in general, it's good for my you know, festival season, drinking too much, bad diet, get the vitamins in you. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's not going to stop schizophrenia.
Aye, it's not going to, like, there's the evidence as like, isn't he there to say, aye, vitamin B12?
It might give you a bit more energy. It might make you sleep better. I've got the rest and recover one as well. And this has got, I can't remember, I think it's ashwagandha and magnesium in that one. And that's, so that you can have that in the morning to give you some energy. And you can have that at night. And you, here, I think it might work, as in you get more energy and you get a better sleep.
Aye,
but we're not talking about complex debilitating illnesses are going to be cured by it. And I hate the manifest people that said they manifested an illness and they can cure it with manifesting. I hate that shit. And also, my other question, because just before we go too far away from the police raid, do you think, how did they know the police were going to raid it? Did the Triceratops lady grass them up to the police? Or did they fear that the Triceratops lady maybe was working for MK Ultra? I mean, that seems like too paranoid. That seems like the wrong environment to be doing something so insane, like where there's, I mean, I take it they're only checking anybody, because MK Ultra woman should probably not be taking ayahuasca.
No. Again, I don't think anybody should be taking ayahuasca. I don't think anybody. It's like, for me, by the end of it, I was just deflated because I thought I had some hope, and I really wanted it to work, and I've done everything. There was like a beata they call it, so you can't have sex or eat red meat or drink caffeine, which was half anyway, or alcohol, which was half anyway. All this stuff, this special list they get today for. Like, I done it for 3 weeks, and then I'd kept all my. I wrote my journals every day. I'd wrote my intentions. I'd done everything that I was supposed to do, and I get nothing. I get a story, but that's about it. But what is ashwagandha, by the way?
Ashwagandha is good, because actually, no, I've got a wee bit of experience for that one, because Joe took it for our for sleeping and back pain. I think just general. I think it's a very mild, very mild. I mean, I would suppose it's not like a benzo or anything like that. It's much, much milder than that. It's maybe like a nice hot Bovril before your bed or something. It's like a Bovril. It's not a benzo. It's a Bovril. It's harmless, but yeah, it does. See, that way, I mean, it's not going to knock you out or anything. It's not like a Zoplacone or like a sleeping tablet. But if you know that way, if you're kind of in the middle of maybe over mind, maybe thinking a bit too much, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of in that, but you're actually genuinely tired and your mind's maybe thinking a bit too much, then a wee ashwagandha can help, I would say. And magnesium, things like that. But they're very, I mean, I don't know if the evidence is there to support mm-hmm. it. There's, but for me personally, maybe it's a placebo effect. But maybe just having something like that makes you go, I've taken the pill, so now I'm going to sleep. Maybe that's enough. But I would recommend it. But it's not going to change the world, I don't think.
It's mad, though. Everybody that talks about ayahuasca, everything I researched about it, everybody that I heard, it was all positive. And it's just, I don't know.
I disagree. I researched that. We've got mutual friends that have taken it. And when they explain it to me, and then they tell me this a story pretty much the exact same as you've told me. I mean, Darren Coral's been on this show talking about it. We've had David on the show talking about it. We've had a few people talking about it. And it's like, it always sounds absolutely terrible. And then they usually end with, you should try it. And I'm like, you've just explained something terrible. And now you're telling me to try it. Why do people want to join the same club?
People want you to experience the same misery as them. It's like when folk tell you, you're like, oh, you don't get wings yet, and you're like, no, I've not got any children. I just wait and see. It's like, no, I know, because I've seen you. You used to have life in your eyes. You don't have it anymore. It's a way. Lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. They don't seem to be.
Well, no one can have a proper conversation about that anyway, because if you've got wings, you can't say, don't have wains, they're shite, because then that means you don't have your wains, and then you get your wains taken off you, and you're a social pariah.
I did have a
social pariah with a social worker, so you can't say that. So maybe you need to live two lives. You need to live two lives back to back consecutively, actually, at the same time, and go, right, it's actually better not having them, or it is better having them. Going back to the choosing your own parents, like, so how does that work? Do you get to choose from every single human being that's ever existed of all time? Are we going, but or is it like just a select, you know, do you get a couple of thousand to choose for, or are we talking about every human that's ever lived ever on any country of all time?
You know, mate, it's the exact same thing. When nobody, see, when, like, you know, folk talk to, like, fortune tellers or spooky women or this, the Galactic Federation, whatever it is, they always seem to tell them that they were like Mark Anthony or Cleopatra or something like that. It's never you were wee Jimmy or wee Susan. It was nothing like that at all. Nobody was the guy that fell in the middle of the Titanic. Everybody was somebody special. Do you know what I mean? And now
first time I've ever heard anyone say that I've triceratops, so I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, to be honest, because it's no way what you said. I don't like it when they say that, you know, they were a Greek god or I don't know, a prince or a king, but a triceratops is original. So shout outs to that. Hold on, we've got some comments. Ali Grant saying this is a surreal story, I'm gripped. Kit Kat says, is Colin not supposed to be promoting his album? Yes. This is the album promo. Can someone clip Colin just saying that he shot himself? And then there you go. That'll get a few likes for you. On that point, how should people listen to your album? Have you got one of those little links that has options? And I'll put it in the comments.
So, I don't know. It's the Colin Hunter, the King of the Rats.
They can type it up.
Yeah, so it's on all streaming platforms as well as Bandcamp. So if you write Bandcamp, Colin Hunter, it will come up.
I just did that and it came up with your maths teacher album. So let me just check if this is, yeah, it's still on coming up with maths teacher.
If you click into that one and then go into Colin Hunter, and it will show you the King of the Rats. You can buy Mass Teacher as well. Buy them both.
Okay. But what you want to do is maybe update your Bandcamp so that your new album comes in when you type it, because that's a wee bit of a footer.
And folk don't like footers. Folk don't like footering about. You've went silent, Matt. You went muted. You've muted yourself, son.
Folk on drugs, taking drugs to get off drugs. Is that what it is?
I suppose it was more. I've been off. I'm coming up on 22. No. Aye. 21 months, 22 months sober. So it was more. Thank you. So it was more for my sanity. Just I've tried everything you can ever imagine. I've tried medication, meditation, therapy, be it private, NHS. I've tried being more creative, trying new things, sporty. I always exercise. Everything you cold water showers, cold water swimming.
Holding an air. I seen you was eating spicy food because Colin's got a good video on Instagram where he does the cold water therapy. And it's spicy food. Try to hold a shite in for as long as you can.
On the balance,
when you came back from Malaga, did you feel like you were less tempted or more tempted to relapse? Would you say?
So I was a bit tempted. I will say that because I was really deflated. I was just. A loss of hope. This was like a Hail Mary for me. And we got taken to the airport, but my flight wasn't for another 7 hours. So everybody was kind of the same, and they were going to go to the beach. And they'd said to me, do you want to wait in the airport or do you want to come to the beach with us? And I said, I'm going to wait in the airport. User can all tell the Galactic Federation I was asking for them. And I went to sit and I paid like 40 quid or whatever and sat in the lounge so I could get something to eat and just sit there the full day, charge my phone, get the internet and all that. But when I went to go up to get food, and the food was great, but they had like a bar for like the drink and like loads of, and it just made me go, I had that thought, I looked at it for like 30 seconds, just gone, but then I talked myself out of it, because once you have that thought, you're going to kill that thought. So I talked myself out of it, phoned a few folk, and then I spoke to my sponsor about it, and he's 82 year old, and he was like, he phoned me back up and he's like, I was having a wee hink about that Wallywaska that you were doing. I'm like, no, it's ayahuasca. No, it's, you said it was Wallywaska. I was like, no, it's ayahuasca. So there's a group chat for the Wallywaska, for the folk that were there and like the leaders and stuff. And some the same guy that talked about the vitamin B12 for curing depression and stuff like that had said, and I mean, this is mad. He starts talking about how you should start taking turpentine, put it on your skin and drinking wee bits of it. And I'm like, under no circumstances should anybody ingest turpentine, even putting it on your skin. Will you, your skin will absorb it. It's not good for you. They say, oh, it gets rid of the parasites and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah. It's natural. It comes from a tree. I was like, there's trees out there that will kill you. There's berries out there that will kill you. Hundreds of natural things will kill you. An axe is natural.
It's like the time Donald Trump told everyone to drink bleach to cure COVID.
Aye.
So that's a thing. But, it's quite a popular belief that like bleach or anything like, you know, kitchen things can, but don't do that, by the way. Don't do that, everyone. If it's got skull and bones on it, that means it's probably not drinkable, despite what other people might tell you.
Yeah.
The album, or back to ayahuasca. No, but the thing is, why Malaga as well? Because I thought you had to go to, was it like Latin America for these things?
Yeah,
Malaga, I mean, I've been to Malaga a few times. I've got friends that stay in the south of Spain, so I've actually stayed in Malaga a few times, and it's a lovely little town, man. Mm-hmm. And
they fly a shaman from Colombia, right. So the shaman and the shaman's pal comes. And the thing is, see, like the shaman, like there was times where, when he was looking at me, that near the end, that I was like, you're looking at me because I think you know that this is all shite. Like, I was getting that vibe. But there was like times where I was going through the first and second night of the ceremony, and you know, like they're playing music and it's like dum 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 dum, ah, and you're like, ah! They're like, actually it's meant to soothe your trip, but it just made it worse for me. I'd probably better off with Savage Garden. Calm me down.
Wallywaska, is that not a pub in Aird in the Sandgate, says Raymond. And I've been corrected. Epi saying it's actually, Cunt said that he was in Jack bleach. It wasn't drinking. Right. It was in Jack. Don't do that either.
No.
Let's go back to your album a wee minute, right? Because I had a couple of highlights. So obviously we had First Aid Kit, which we've already talked about. There was Windswept and Uninteresting, which I really liked the line, I'd rather be a bag of shite than a shite bag, and I'll come to your funeral if you come to mine. So what's that one about?
So that is a bit about, not, that's basically not feeling comfortable in my own skin or with other humans, feeling like I'm apart. I'm no even, and like any situation I'm in, I just feel like an outsider. But that line, I'd rather be a bag of shite than a shite bag. There was one day I was hiding, it was my ex-wife, and I was hiding in the cupboard for like 15 minutes because I could see her getting out the motor and coming up the stairs, whatever. So I was hiding in there for 15 minutes, and I came out and I was like, ah! And like I would always do. And she called me a shit bag. And I said, firstly, it's shite bag. Secondly, shite bag means fearty, like you're scared. And I'm not a shite bag. What you're meaning is I'm a bag of shite. And I'll tell you something new. I would rather be a bag of shite than a shite bag.
Remember that time you were playing the Harbour Arts Centre in Irvine with Tragic O'Hara?
Uh-huh.
And the drum kit started running away from you. Basically, the drum kit's bouncing away. And you're like, what are we going to do? And everyone's laughing. And you're just living up, what are we going to do? And everyone was just laughing. And there was nobody had a solution. I thought that was funny. Because everyone's just, you're like, no, what are we going to do? And the whole place is just in stitches.
But that's the thing. There's so many things, like gigging on in real life, when I say something and I'm being serious, and folk are just laughing at me. Like, I, like I, I remember I got broken up with years ago, and there was a gig that I was meant to be playing. I didn't know how to play it, and I was like, I would rather not be here. And folks started laughing, so I kind of leaned into it. I leaned into it, and I turned it too far because, you know, nobody likes being called a cunt.
At least you just got to play that night. We didn't end up playing. We got banned. That's where that line comes from. Jackal Trade song. I had a band from Ayrshire, they get banned from Ayrshire because they wouldn't let us play, and then we got, they just said, nah. Because it started late, and then by the time we were coming on, they just said, no, your drummer's too drunk to play. And we're like, he's not too drunk to play. He's always like that. He's fine. But yeah. We didn't get to play.
But that night at the Harbour Arts Centre, I think it was Stib that volunteered himself to come and sit in front of the kit, with just his feet just like that against the kit drum.
Yeah, so what you'd normally would, in that situation, you would want a bit of carpet or something to put underneath the drum kit. But shouts to the hack. Oh, well, I'd like to go back. I was thinking, because obviously I do feel like after I've promoted this current album, I'd like to take a wee, well, at least a hiatus of some sort and try and write a book. And I thought, you need an ending for the book. So I've got two options. One is either playing in Europe, because it's always been my bucket list to play in Europe, even if it's just, you know, 50 people in France or something like that. But the other option is just go to a badly promoted gig in Irvine or Cowanan or something and just go back and play to absolutely nobody. And then that's a good ending as well, isn't it?
Well, I quite like that idea. I love, there's a songwriter who died years ago called Blaise Foley, and one of his live albums is just recorded in this old, it's this pub, this bar out in the sticks, and there's like folk, there's only like maybe like 14 folk in, and they're not enjoying it. but they released it, and I think it's because he's coming after, he's really funny coming after the Dome with really, really interesting stuff he was saying. But there was something else I was going to say there, but it's escaped me.
Well, another song was Someone Else's Memories. And I like the line, I can't remember how it goes exactly, but it was like, you're swimming naked with your pals, and there was some lasses there from the Protestant school, or something like that.
So this idea of someone else's memories, it's like, as you get older, and as you naturally change as a person, and you think of things in your life, it's almost like it isn't you anymore, or you've changed, or something's missing, or something's different, or, you know, something's no good with what's happening. Anyway, so that was what that was about. And the actual line, swimming naked with my best friends and the girls we knew from the Protestant school, that's actually never happened. That was somebody else's memories. So I wanted to put that in, that it was like, that was a camping trip that I wasn't invited to. And I remember coming into school and sitting in St. Michael's under the stairs, and everybody's talking about this amazing camping trip. Mm. And I was like, how did you not ask me to come?
I felt that about an Ocean Colossian gig at Stirling Castle. Everyone went, and I don't think I got an invite. I don't think it was pure close friends that we all went, but I just felt like, you know, where did you get your Ocean Colossian CDs from? That's what I felt like saying. You know,
yeah.
Who the fucking CD writer?
But that's another thing that can lead us on to another subject, Mark, because sometimes people just don't think. And when it comes to when you put out any sort of content of your band, whether it's a gig, a new release, or anything like that, some people just don't realise how important it is to share and to like and to support it in that way, because it's we're in a the likes, because it's all about perception. You get good, you get like better gigs if you seem to be doing well.
Yeah, you could just spend. There's people out there that are spending hundreds and hundreds of pounds every week on their Instagram, and then they've got, you know, 10,000 followers, and they look like they're doing well. So, but the perception, I mean, the thing is that only takes you so far. Especially, I've noticed there's a lot of people in the Glasgow, because I know Glasgow well, it's the scene quite well. There's people with ridiculous numbers on their YouTube videos, and you know that they don't bring anyone to their gigs. So mm-hmm. what is the fucking point? Are they believing their own hype? And that must be disappointing. You know, it's a series of disappointments. I mean, this is how we ended up booking this interview, is because you agreed with the why your friends don't share your music video because I've just recently got Gyros and You Call That Radio on Instagram. So I'm just starting to put up some old content on that just to kind of please the robotic overlords. But yeah, if you start believing your own hype, if you're like, oh, I get 20,000 views in my music video, but it was just robots, it was bots. How does that make you feel when you go to the gig and there's nobody there?
What
do you fall for your own hype? That's what I wonder. I would like, and it's quite hard to get anyone to talk on the record about it, because if they're in that world of curating success, then they're not going to be honest about it, are they?
It's funny, because you have to, in order to, like, thousands upon thousands of songs are released, say, on Spotify every single day. And unless it's your pals or folk that know you or the fans that know you, nobody else is going to. And that's in case you need to pay for your fans and your friends to see, because the algorithm as well. So not everybody's going to see you. So you need to pay for that. But if you want to be seen by other people on these streaming platforms, you need to go into playlists. How do you go into playlists? Well, there's certain playlists that are scams, and you can end up getting kicked, get your music removed from Spotify. Then you get certain playlists that sort of you can work with, like a PR team, which I looked into, and they can get your own playlists.
But sometimes you don't, and then you've just paid money to a guy that can't help you.
But here's the thing. You're wanting to make a living from music, so you need to get streams up. You need to get the perception of you doing well as a musician. You need to get that up. So then you pay to get people to look, and then the money comes in. But you've not actually even you're out of pocket. It just doesn't make sense. And I made this point the other day there. Like if you want to, what is the living wages, like £2,016 or something like that. That's the living wage. In order to get that, you need to, you know, make about 500,000 to 850,000 streams a month to make that. Which, like, do you know anybody that can do that easily? That's in order to get those streams, you have to pay for it.
or 200 digital downloads. So that's why you should buy. The best thing to do is go and buy Colin Hunter's album on Bandcamp, and then only listen to it on Spotify. That's the way to do it. I don't stream it on Bandcamp, because actually I told that some people, this is quite a misconception, that streaming it in Bandcamp is good, but Bandcamp doesn't pay for streams. The reason Bandcamp is good is because they actively want people buying physical merch and digital downloads. And what Spotify did was a sneaky one, which it basically said, oh no, you're just putting your music out there without a paywall, and then as a result, people will buy your albums and stuff, but they don't. They basically just destroyed physical media. Not destroyed it. I mean, we're still selling a few vinyl. I think there's maybe a bit of a renaissance, a bit of physical. But Spotify doesn't want that. Spotify doesn't want you buying anything. They just want you to have that their app and everything to be on it. And it's a problem. That is a problem.
Yeah.
And they don't want to sell tickets. And why not? Why can't I just? I don't know what. I didn't use Spotify for the first 6 months of our album, and now, as a result, our Spotify streams are quite disappointing compared to what they could have been if we'd just put it all out at the same time. But that was a kind of calculated risk. I kind of knew that would happen.
Do you know something that I was thinking about for that video? There's a few things that I thought. The Am I Shite thing was definitely something that popped up. But something that it made me think about is my own self, and am I sharing enough of my friends' stuff? It made me think, and rather than like, nobody's doing my, it made me think, oh, is that aimed at me? Why am I thinking that's aimed at me? Do you think maybe you don't date enough? Maybe I don't date enough. And then, you know, so that was what it...
You get people that actually unfriend people because they don't share their music and stuff. Something, it gets quite crazy. Like, I've had people who've asked to get on this podcast to promote their thing, and I've said, right, I'm a wee bit busy just now, but I'll get back to you. And I'm genuinely going to get back to them. I'm just, life's busy. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to do as much as I can. And then they just unfriend you. And I'm like, bump into them in the real world. And I'm like, did you unfriend me? And they went, aye, just because you're on the road. You didn't seem to be that into my music. And I'm like, I've got lots of friends that don't like my music as well. It's not like,
I get folk, when I was playing drums in Crash Club, I had folk that were just like, stick to the drums, mate, your songs aren't that great.
That's a total answer chat.
I know. And then I had folk that maybe aren't into Mellow Party, but they like the solo stuff, whatever. And that's your pals, they, you can't like everything. But the thing that you have always done that's admirable is your ability to promote yourself and your DIY ethic. What I would have done in the past is just like, right, make a post. My album's out, by the way, go and listen and have like a snidey thing. Like, you won't even listen to it anyway, or something like, you know what I mean? Make one post about my album and then hope that people see it. And they don't, and like, that's not good enough. You need to be relentless, and you need to think outside the box, and you need to try new things. When I decided to eventually pick this album out, because it was ready in 2021, but I was hospitalised and loads of other things happened. It's only till now that I've picked it out, and it's new that I'm like, no, if I respect the work that I've made, I really should be putting as much effort into the promotion as I did to the writing and the recording.
Yeah. But it's tough. It's tough to promote your own stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why people do pay people to help them. And I'm better at promoting other people's stuff than my own stuff. But I've been trying to get into the reels, like just making, because obviously
you're getting into the reels, son.
I'm getting reeled in. I'm getting reeled into them because... Obviously, because we've got so much stuff for the olden days, or like, you know, it's like the Instagram's new. So I'm just like putting up an old music video and chopping up 60 seconds of it. Takes a few, you know, if you just upload it to Meta Business Suite, then it goes to Facebook and Instagram at the same time. So the lead up to the Barra's gig, I was pretty much putting out a new video of some sort, whether it was a live thing or a music video or content of some sort. And that seemed to be doing all right. It's hard to tell if it helped with ticket sales, and it's hard to tell if it helped with people checking out the album. You can't really, unless you start getting into Google Pixels and stuff like that, but that's a bit too extreme. But you've got to do your bit and just put the songs out there. Because the thing is that if people don't, just they can scroll past if they don't like it. You know, it's not, you should feel, I know you're naturally funny, you've done comedy and stuff like that. So the thing that I've always found has been most successful, although it's hard to get into that frame of mind, is when you can come up with some sort of banter, sort of almost viral-y type video, something that's funny, but then it's got an advert at the end, but the algorithm doesn't recognise this as an advert, it recognises this as people would, because it's seen all the laugh reacts, or angry reacts, or whatever it is, and it's going, this is a thing that's getting people to react emotionally, and it wants people to react emotionally. So yeah, I would say just doing a daft wee thing about this is the story of me shitting myself. Try and keep it and do that for 60 seconds, and it ends with new album out now.
I done a wee video with, do you know this guy Stephen Kerr, the Power Man?
No,
I know
Stephen Kerr, but this sounds like a different Stephen Kerr.
He's a sports personality. He's a motivator, influencer type guy. But it's like when I first seen him in my head, I was like, oh, he's hanging on by his fingernails to like his sanity. But then I was like, I've been too quick to judge there. No, this guy's actually really good, and he's doing a lot of good stuff. But his shtick is like, Come on, I want you to do it. Be powerful, be outstanding. Yes. But he's Scottish. He's Scottish, but he puts on this accent kind of thing.
So it's kind of like the, who's the guy, who's the famous guy that does that? Oh, I've had the brain fart, but the guy, the motivator guy goes on Joe Rogan. He's like,
oh, what's his face?
He wakes up and just runs every day. He's like 40
He used to be in the military, then he was...
Yes, that guy.
David Goggins.
David Goggins. Now, that guy's a motivated guy. It's like Mr. Motivator is a motivated guy. And that's when, you know, I seen him fighting with Badly Drawn Boy. That's the
really?
I caused the fight. So I'm actually going to do that as a Patreon-only story. Or I'll keep it for the book. But yeah, I caused the fight.
Keep that for the book, man. I would also say a lot of your stories that you've said on here, that's book worthy, man. Don't just say, oh, that's for that. Put right, because when you write them down, you'll think of things and you'll write it in a way that kind of best reflects on what happened when you get to actually just sit down and take your time on it.
Well, that's what I want to do. I'm hopefully going to get a new flat. I'm still looking, if anyone knows anywhere. But hopefully in October, new flat, somewhere quiet, on my own, and I'm just going to try and write the book over the winter. That's my plan. And then just wait for the ending, which will either be... I remember the night at the Hack, but I was on prescriptions and overpriced beer. I got flagged by YouTube, that comment. Naughty. I don't know. What does it say? What do you mean by red flagged by YouTube, that comment? Not sure. I don't see anything to mind. But hopefully, that's the plan. Do the book. And then, but I need an ending. So we're doing the Irish tour. I think it's either Europe.
I was going to say, why don't you take a leaf out of Norm MacDonald's book and like just make up the ending?
That's a good idea. Because I can't really be bothered doing stuff, do you know?
If you were to write your ending, if you could, and you could design it, this is the way I want to go.
Like, a shite gig in Ayrshire, but obviously I could just make that dream come true. You know, I could have a shite gig at Ayrshire if I wanted. You know, that feels like an achievable goal.
And as storytelling, it's kind of slice of life.
But also, maybe it would be funnier to do it and just say that nobody turned it, because then nobody would be there to say that it did or didn't happen, because nobody was there. That's interesting. But then I don't have to put myself through the nerves, the anxiety, the feeling of failure, because obviously I would fight when a gig goes bad. I do find it funny, you know, almost immediately, maybe the next day or a week later. But at the time, it hurts. It can sting. When things go wrong.
Oh, like when any, you know, even just if I see somebody like looking as if they're not enjoying themselves, sometimes that can like pure trigger me. Like, they hate me. They don't like me. They wish I wasn't here. I shouldn't be here. I'm shite. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that I've done to promote it that were just, there's a concept that I had, suffering for your art. Did you see any of those?
I've seen one, but that shows you about the algorithm. I've only seen one of them. How many have you done of them? Yeah. Let's just check this out.
So I've got two. I've got another one. I'm going to bring out the Mora. But I've got two done. And the concept behind it was suffering, you know, how everybody, the tortured artist who suffers for their art, right? In the past, it was you suffered financially, your relationship suffered, you suffered mentally, you suffered like, am I good enough, you know? Are you going to have a house? Are you going to be able to eat? All that kind of thing. But now you also suffer through exploiting yourself. As a musician, you've got to go and go, hey guys, Jimmy. Who's a musician again? Hey guys, I'm Jimmy Neal, and my new album's coming out. And especially if you're older, it's a bit harder. So I wanted to sort of create because I think it's just stupid. But you need, but it's necessary. So if it's necessary, I wanted to make the videos that I was doing deliberately stupid to point that out. But most folk are just like, that guy just ate a food jar of mustard. What a dickhead.
No, but it's good. It's a good idea. You've got your concept. Just run with it. You just need to come up with it. You just need to, the more you do it, like the trick of comedy is obviously repetition. And see, that way we're, it starts getting old, but then it gets funny again. That's the best comedy for me. When you just you do it so much that it's no funny anymore, but then it gets funny again. You're going to see Stuart Lee, I think, who I'm a big fan of, obviously.
Yeah, he's a sort of master at that sort of thing. I'm trying to think of other folk that sort of do that, but I mean, but that's the thing, you can't just be, and I suppose you never had to just be just a musician. You had to be, there's, you know, it's all big, most successful people within the creative arts that are seen are usually bra, they're usually good looking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why I don't understand why me and you are still eating tins of beans.
Well, yeah, I think that there's a really good quote. I'm trying to remember what it was, but he was just, I think it was MTV that kind of, that, you know, video killed the radio star, as I say. It was along those lines. And because before, back in the day, you know, if you liked an artist, you didn't really know what they looked like until you went to a show. You know, there's lots of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm too young to not really remember that. I just remember, like, seeing all the artists. But before then, it was just a voice in the radio. So you could have a face for the radio. Kit Kat's is saying, I'll get you a night in the Abbey Gates. So what's Abbey Gates? I mean, I know what the Abbey is. And
that was sure the old. That's the old foundry.
The foundry, right. Okay, yes. So somebody has talked to me about this before. So is that a good venue to play?
I mean, back in the day, I played the foundry with a band I was in with. We were Promised Jetpacks.
What happened to them? They were brilliant. I remember seeing them at the 13th Note.
They're still gone. Still gone.
Aye. Not
aye, they're great. I love them.
That was a great band. Mm-hmm. It's a great band. Sorry, I just haven't heard any of their stuff for a while. Algorithm, they're not putting themselves out there enough. So, Abbey Gates, is there anybody else in Ayrshire? Is there anywhere else in Ayrshire? Because obviously, I think we're banned for the hack. Also, we're not a seated band. We're not suited to that unless someone's going to do the, you know, maybe do the comeback show in a suit and a stool, maybe with some double bass and that vibe. The crooner era, which I would quite enjoy.
But is there anybody else?
Is there anyone else in Ayrshire that I could do end the book with?
Well, there's, was it Studio 52 or whatever it is? The thing is, I'm the same as you. I don't mean to be down on Ayrshire, but it's just any time I've played a gig in Ayrshire, like, nobody turns up. And John wanted to do the Mellow Party tour before we went to the States. Wanted to do a date in Ayrshire because that's my place, and I says, I don't think we should do it, and he was like, oh right, okay. So we done it in Ayr at this venue, which was a great venue. The sound was brilliant, it looked great, and then like 20 folk turned up and I was devastated, man.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what's sort of ungrateful about my reaction is the fact that 20 people did turn up.
Yeah.
And they did turn up, and you should play your best for them that are there to see you instead of thinking about the folk that aren't there.
It's went wrong. Every time it's went wrong. We played live at Troon, and they had all the big acts on the Friday and the Saturday, and then they just put all the up and coming bands on the Sunday. I'll no mention the bands that were on the Sunday because one of them's actually quite famous now. But but at that point, nobody. It was a good lineup, but it was like 30, I don't know, it was like 25 quid. This is about 10 years ago. And everything's unknown. And we played this big, massive town hall. The gigs should have been cancelled, man. And it was like, I don't know, 5 people there. And it was like an awkward, like the school dancing where everyone's scared to go up and ask someone to dance. There was like 3 people on that side of the bench, was 2 people there. I think eventually shamed or embarrassed. I got somebody, 2 people got up to dance, and we did a song called There's Something Wrong With Ayrshire that day, and they cut us off. And then, you know, there was a gig at the Claremont, or whatever that was called at the time, Platform something.
Platform 5, because Quinn and Train Station, it's right next to Quinn and Train Station, yeah. Quinn and Train Station only has 4 platforms, and the next platform is platform 5, baby.
And I'm pretty sure you were there. I think it was a Crash Club gig, maybe. But maybe Callum was on the drums that time. Maybe. And it was, once again, there was a major sound issues. And we actually had quite a good turnout, because between us and Crash Club, the troops were out. Mm-hmm. But then the sound let us down. It was like a... It wasn't the guys who brought the PA's fault. They were brilliant, but it was just... It wasn't designed for live music, so therefore there was a lot of, you know, so everyone just thinks, yeah, it went bad. But like I said, I think it's a good way to end the book, is just by, you know, either it could go really well, but we know there is a, it almost feels like it's cursed. And I think Ayrshire's problem is it's so close to Glasgow. You know, people always ask, do you know Jimmy for Ayr? And it's like, no, I live closer to Glasgow than Ayr. Why would I go to Ayr for a night out? And yeah, as soon as people are old enough to leave, they tend to leave, and it's a shame. But as I'm getting older, I've been looking at maybe going back to Ayrshire. I've actually been in talks with somebody at this trying to bring some live music to Ayrshire. So that might be a new thing. It's still early days for that one. Before we go, because obviously we're getting to an hour and a half, you're going to McCool's, aren't you? So,
yeah.
So you're going to hurry up and start moving. Hold on, we've got Get Robert the Robot to promote. He always gets selection. Now there's a good shout. Shouts to Robert the Robot. And I've got my Robo Crocs as well. So maybe I could get me and Robert the Robot could do some popping and locking together. Ruby Tuesdays. Ruby Tuesdays, I mean, I never seen any live music there, but I had many good pints. I actually watched Scotland beat France, and we all won a bet because we'd all put a tenner or a score on James McFadden to score first, and it's been 1-0.
That was this day when McFadden scored that screaming against France, aye?
When the Daily Record printed the headline, everyone back it 1-0. What is that? That's a weird thing to happen. And we did, we all backed it, and we all got absolutely wasted that Ruby's partied all night, and then the next day we woke up hungover, and we just collected our winnings. I think we were all, you know what I mean, picking up 100, 200 quid each. Fucking great. Shouts to Rubies. But I think that's Colonel Mustard's in the house as well. Hello, Colonel Mustard. And so Mellow Party, what you got coming up? Because it's an hour and a half, and we've got a gig to go to.
So coming up, I'm recording new music again with JP Reed Dragon of Marmaduke Duke and Susio Pero and Yes Dragon and Meadows, who recorded Mass Teacher and King of the Rats. Great producer. If anybody wants to work with him, give him a shout. He's incredible. Then I will be performing on Sunday, Born to Rewild, with my Mellow Party pals and Roddy Dixon. We'll be playing an interactive theatre show, playing wolves, singing songs, and taking a big walk around Vogery Pogery Park at Vogery Pogery Festival in Edinburgh, where we talk about the environment, sing songs, and all this. It's really, really fun. Vogery Pogery, if anybody has children, it's great, and that's this Sunday. Then Mellow Party are going to be playing at the Cumbernauld Theatre on the 30th of August. So book your tickets up now, because we want folk to come. So I was also going to say, you were talking earlier about gigging abroad and stuff like that, and a wee idea, I discovered this website called Sidedoor, and it enables artists, you know how you go to, you know, you used to maybe do like house shows or backdoor shows or like an art galleries or these wee things. What's so great about them is because you get to interact with the audience, the money's a bit better. 30th of October, see, I told you, I remembered. So the Sidedoor acts for hosts and for artists. So you can put your profile up and say, for instance, you've got whatever you want to do, a tour or go to a certain place, or even if you're in a certain place already, you can put up, these are the dates that I can play.
This sounds really good. How much is it?
It's free. Yeah.
Because there was other people that used to do that, but they started charging a lot of money. I can't remember the name of them, but they still emailed me.
It's free, and it's called Sidedoor. So anybody,
we've actually got a couple of contacts, because we actually had booked European dates before lockdown, because we were we seen, we knew Brexit was coming in the rear view, so we're like, let's do it. Then lockdown ruined it. Then Brexit ruined it. And now I think I'm up for it. So if anyone knows anyone, France, Spain, Holland, Germany, anything like that, just even a few days in Spain or a few days in France would do the job to finalize the book. So side door, I'm going to check them out.
Mm-hmm. And definitely.
In fact, while you and I think John's tuned in, so we need to get a guitar and some rucksacks to Vogri Pogri, because how do Bean is driving to Equinox Festival and we don't have enough space in our respective vehicles. So can we, when are you driving to Vogri Pogri, could I give you a guitar and a rucksack and stuff to take to Vogri Pogri?
Run about morning time, 9 o'clock, 9 a.m.
On the Sunday, right? So yeah. I just need to figure out a way to get my stuff to John before Sunday, and then that stuff can arrive at that means the stuff will get taken to Equinox Festival, and then we don't need to worry about it anymore. It's just that we've got, I'm not going to bore you with the details, but travel logistics has been a nightmare for this festival. But we'll be there, main stage a week today, anyone in the Lincolnshire area. We've also got a couple of free tickets to give away to any of our patrons, so if you want to support the show at patreon.com/ you call that radio, or if you already are, then you can get 2 free tickets to Equinox. Just give me a shout. Go and buy Colin Hunter's album, The King of the Rats. Buy it in Bandcamp, stream it on Spotify. Any closing words? I'll give you full screen. Like
these are my closing words. that's really bad pattern, isn't it? No, I would just like to say thanks to you, Mark, mate, and for everybody that's been listening to the album and giving good feedback, and I think maybe just being sincere and just saying I'm grateful for everybody listening, buying the album, coming to the shows, and I'm really happy that I'm alive. Can you believe me?
Well, I'm happy you're alive. It's a brilliant new album. Go and check it out. The King of the Rats. The King of the Rats out now. Colin Hunter. And we're away to McCool's to what's called the Duncan on the Drums with Stephen Young's band in the folk drama. If you're listening to this in the audio podcast, you've already missed it. But you can see the Gyro Babies at Equinox Festival. And we're touring Ireland, Dublin, Dundalk and Derry, November the 7th to the 9th. Go and check out Colin's album. It's brilliant. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. Have a great weekend, and I'll maybe see you at McCool's tonight if you're about. Bye!